Hey, everybody, this is S. Anthony Thomas. This is S. Anthony Says, the podcast, episode number 477. You know, if you listen to this podcast, I like to jump right into it. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to jump right in. Folks, I have to ask you this question. When does it stop hurting? That sounds like a weird question, doesn't it? When does it stop hurting? But it's the truth. Sometimes things hurt you. It hurts really badly and hurts so badly that it takes over your whole day. And maybe you stub your toe and you think you broke your toe, right? But you got to go to work anyway and you're limping around, right? Everybody looking at you, why are you walking like that, Frank? Oh, I stubbed my toe. Oh, man. Oh, I hate that, right? And the more they talk about it, the more it hurts because now you're trying not to think about it, but now you're really thinking about it more because they won't shut the heck up, right? But your work is so time consuming. It's so intense. You're so busy trying to focus on what you're doing and you forget that your toe is hurting. And then you're walking up the steps and you realize, oh, wait a minute, my foot's not hurting anymore. At some point during the day, the pain of your foot stopped, but you didn't know when it was. There had to have been a moment where it was hurting and then a moment where the pain stopped. There is that moment. We never noticed that moment, but that moment happened. And you start thinking, when did my toe stop hurting? I know it was hurting when I was in the meeting. I know it was hurting when I was helping the janitor move the trash cans, you know, because he's like, hey, thanks you, Mr. Johnson, for helping move the trash cans. No problem, my brother. You know, that kind of thing. But when I was doing the reports, the Johnson report, it was still hurting then because they say, you okay, buddy? But that was, when did it stop? You don't know when it stopped hurting. A lot of times when the pain is so intense and the pain is constant, we just kind of learn to live with it because that's how human beings are. We're creatures of habit, right? The paradigm is you plus pain, you plus my toe is hurting, and it stops at some point. I lost a loved one. I lost two loved ones to violence, and it got to the point where it was just hurtful and hurt and hurt and hurt. I went to sleep. I woke up and for a half a second, and then you realize, oh, I'm not going to see those people. Oh, and it starts hurting again. And even songs that aren't sad songs that just happen to be slow, make you cry in the car, you know, that kind of thing. And it just hurts and hurts and hurts and hurts and hurts for a long period of time. You get used to the pain. You get used to the fact that you don't even want to have idle thoughts because idle thoughts are going to remind you of the people that are gone. And then one day you wake up in the morning. And when the thought of that person or those people come into your mind, you remember the good times. You smile a little bit. You remember when some cool, funny thing that they did. When did it stop hurting? There was a point where you felt sorrow and pain, but now you don't. When does it stop hurting? And I say this because I want to bring up something. It's a story I want to tell you. Happened a while ago, a long time ago. I'm a comedian by trade, and I was hanging out with some other comics at a diner. And I'll be honest with you, some of the comics, you know, sometimes you look at rap stars and some of the rap stars have a tough upbringing and maybe they've been to jail or maybe they whooped some people's asses or something like that. Well, some of my comedy friends were like that. They are some of them are reformed ass whippers, right? You know, and so, but they still have ass whipping in them. If you understand what I'm saying. So we're all sitting at the diner talking crap. And there's a couple right next to us. I think they were right next to us. They were arguing, right? And then it got to the point where the lady said something, and what she said wasn't that bad. But then the guy realized he had lost the argument, and he kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going, and he kept becoming more and more aggressive. He became more and more animated. And for a second, we kind of looked over at him, right? And we're wondering, is this guy going to actually hit his wife? Because we're sitting there going, if this guy hits this woman, I don't think he realized what's about to happen, but we're going to go over there, and we're going to tune this boy up. And we weren't the only ones thinking that. Like almost every guy in the diner was kind of giving him the side eye like, yeah, the second you try to hit that woman, his whole damn diner is going to take you in the back and stomp you down. Right? But as it turns out, he didn't go above a point where he was going to hit her. We started to get the feeling he wasn't actually going to physically harm her. So we kind of, you know, relaxed a little bit. Like we're not going to have to smack this guy up. But the things he was saying were just a little bit too rough, man, right? Unless she set his dog on fire and took the carcass and beat his mom to death with it, there's really no reason for him to talk the way he was talking to his wife. It was over the top, right? And he wasn't even using rough language. He was just using rough phrases. He was being a little bit too, You can see the women in there. Now, all of a sudden, before, when we thought it was going to be a physical confrontation, the guys were getting ready to whoop his ass. Now we're looking over and all the women are giving him the side eye like, if he says anything worse than what he's saying right now, we're going to take him in the back and whoop his ass. This guy had the whole diner ready to whoop his ass. I'm pretty sure when he got his food that the waitress and all the servers and the people in the back probably had a conveyor belt lined up so they could all spit in his food, right? Now, I can't say that it actually happened, but I know when he got his food, the waitress made it the point, no, this one's yours, right? He was so busy berating his wife, he didn't realize that. Now, do I think they spit in it? I'm just kidding about that, but it would not surprise me because she was emphatic about going, no, this one's yours. And you could see the pain on her face. And she was so focused on being mean to her that he didn't realize what was going on around him. Everybody was looking at him like he was a piece of crap. But his wife noticed. And the pain that was on her face because of the person that she loved, the person she chose to spend her life with, was being so mean to her, being so disgusting to her, saying such mean and nasty things in a barrage. And now she's very subtly started to notice that everyone else noticed. So now you see pain on her face, and looking in the glass at her reflection, you can not only see pain, but you can now also see embarrassment. You could tell that this wasn't the first time that this guy had gone over the top with his words. You don't go from 0 to 600 that fast. It had to have been a buildup over the course of time, so much so that she had gotten used to it. Because when we thought he was physically threatening, she didn't feel threatened at all. She would just kind of look at him as if to say, I know you're not going to actually hit me. You're just going to say some mean stuff. You're going to get it out of your system, and then you're going to act nice for 2 days, and everything's going to be back. And as soon as we start being lovey-dovey again, you're going to turn into a piece of crap. It was like that. But then the guy just said something, and I can't, even though I don't mind cursing on this podcast, I'm not going to say what this person said. But he said something, and you could, the people that were close by, you could hear them go, oh, like that. And I saw her kind of turn her head a little bit, because she acknowledged the fact that he said what he said, and people heard what he said, and And then I saw another look on her face. And that's one of those things you got to realize. He had gone too far. This was now the straw that broke the camel's back. And she didn't react to him with anger. Oh, no. Her face went completely dead. And if you've ever had someone break up with you, when you go back in your memory and you realize, oh man, that was the moment she decided she was going to break up with me. Or that was the moment he decided he was going to break up with me. You've seen that face. You didn't recognize it at the moment. You recognized it 2 weeks after you got dumped, or 2 weeks after the big fight that ended the relationship. You realize that was the moment the relationship was dead. You saw your wife walk into a car and she looked like she was having a conversation with herself. No, she was rehearsing. Do I want him? Do I not want him? Am I going to dump him? How am I going to dump him? She's literally debating how or if she's going to get rid of your ass. And it's the same thing with guys. He's in the car practicing. Do I want to be with her? Should I drop this? Should I divorce her? Do I want to be with her? And if I decide to drop her, how am I going to do it? They're having that debate. You don't realize there's a trial going on. There's a trial. The trial of whether they're going to be with you or not. And when that face is on, the verdict has come in. And for this guy, the verdict has come in. Remember earlier in this podcast, in the beginning, I said, when does your toe stop hurting? There was a point where it hurt, and then there was a point where it did not hurt, right? When I lost loved ones, there was a point where I lost the loved ones to violence. When was the point where it stopped hurting, where I stopped forcing myself not to cry, because at the beginning I couldn't stop from crying? But it didn't. When was that moment? 1.5 seconds before he finished the last sentence, he had a wife. He had a chance. He had someone that stuck by him through all the bull crap he was doing and all the nasty things that he is saying, all the verbal and emotional abuse. He still had a wife. And then in this moment, in this diner, in front of all these people, he said one too many things. And I could see on her face, she still had a ring on. She was still going to ride home with him. She might even give him some that night. I doubt it, but you know, who never knows. But his wife is gone. He doesn't realize it, but she's gone. There was a point where she still thought about him as a husband, and now he's just the dude in her house. If you've been on the other side of that, and I've been on the other side of that more than I've been on the bad side of that. There was a time when I was with someone, I was with a lady, and we were having kind of a tough time. And I was trying my best to make sure that I could fix the relationship. And I think she was probably trying to do it as well. I tend not to say mean things to people. I just don't. If I don't like you, I'll be cordial to you. And if I want to end the relationship, I'll be respectful as possible. But I try to fix things. I'm a fixer. I try to fix things. I don't give up on things. I constantly believe I can fix whatever the problem is. And I thought I could fix that relationship. But then she did something and said something back to back that put that face on me. The same face that that woman had in the diner, I had it on my face. I know what it looks like when you look in the mirror and the twinkle in your eyes is gone. You can see when the twinkle in somebody else's eyes is gone, and you can feel when the twinkle in your eyes is gone. She did something and said something. Okay, so I'm not going to say what it was because I don't want to identify this person. And we went back to her place. And there was a time the day before when I would lay her down and we would do nice stuff to each other's lap stuff where it was the best thing in the world. Fantastic, incredible. It was just the most greatest thing. Couldn't ask for anything better. Nothing felt better. The greatest, incredible. Can't wait. I can't get enough. The second I climb off top on top of her, I'm trying to get back up on top of her. I remember she would walk to the bathroom after we were finished. She'd come back and she's thinking we're going to cuddle and laugh and joke. And I'm like, ha ha. Nope. Putting the car right back in the garage. Well, I was young then. Right now it's like, hey, girl, 45 minutes from now, I'm going to tear you up. But right back then, I was like, you went to the bathroom, man. That's enough time. Lay back down. You understand what I'm saying? But that's beside the point. Back to the story. And we got to the bedroom and we did what we did. And it still felt good because it's a guy having sex with an attractive woman. But I could tell the difference. If you ever laid down with someone that you just find physically attractive, and you lay down with somebody you love more than anything in the world, someone you wanted in your life more than you wanted oxygen, which is how I felt about her before she didn't said those two things back to back. And the simple fact that something that was on a scale of 1 to 10 was a 16 billion was now a 7 because of what she did and what she said. I knew if what she said ruined this, oh my goodness. And as I said, I'm a fixer. I tried to fix things, but you know, when I looked at her, my heart didn't flutter like it used to. When she'd hug on me or something like that, it still felt good because it was an attractive woman with a body next to me. But it was like, well, yeah, all right. Right? She would walk across the room, and instead of looking at her delicious buttocks, I just kept looking at the television. Right. When she sat down in my lap, like say I'm sitting on the floor, the TV's there. You know, when your woman like sits down between your legs and leans back, normally I would just wrap myself around her and smell her neck and slob her down, get all up on her, squeeze her chest yummies, put my hand down, squeeze her back yummies, which was her buttocks. And she'd giggle. Hee hee hee. Sometimes we'd finish the movie. Sometimes the movie would never get finished. Sometimes we'd make a movie. Moving on. Don't judge me. Shut up. But it was different. There was a moment where I loved this woman more than anything in the world. And at some point in the evening after she did that thing and said that thing, I just didn't feel it anymore. The next 90 days, which was how much longer the relationship lasted after that, it was like she was just a woman who was coming over to visit. And I'd do some stuff with her lap stuff and she'd do some stuff to my lap stuff. A couple hours of that. And then, you know, I was like, yeah. Yeah, I didn't. You want to go do something? Oh, no, I got some shows. Yeah. And I didn't want to be in a situation where I was just enjoying her sweet bottom and then that's it. So I had to end that thing. Because I wasn't her boyfriend anymore. I didn't feel it anymore. I don't know when it stopped, but soon after she said, did that thing and said the thing, it was over with. That was it. When does it stop? We don't know the moment that it stops. We just know that it does. Now, I'm sure you can relate to that. I'm sure you can relate to that. I'm sure you understand that there are certain things that just kind of very slowly and beneath the surface transition from one thing to another thing. And you don't know when it happened, but you do know that it did happen. What I say this because I realize that we realize that the things in our lives that are important, things that are in our lives that are important to us, are very, very similar to a flower, right? You ever have a flower, maybe you have it in the basement, or maybe you have it someplace, and you forget to water it, right? And because you forget to water it, you forget that it's there. And because you forget that it's there, you go to that place and you go, oh, crap. And you realize maybe the flower is completely dead or almost dead. Maybe you, even if you start watering it, it just may be too late. Sometimes you can save it, but most of the times you can't. And that's the thing. You got to water your flowers. The guy in the diner, if he had caught himself saying something mean to that lady 5 years before and he realized, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, my God. What am I saying? Why am I saying mean things to the person I asked to spend my life with, who I get to do good stuff to her lap stuff and she does good stuff to my lap stuff? Maybe they have kids. I don't know. Why would I say something like that? If you caught yourself and said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I was mad about this, that, and the other. I shouldn't have taken it out on you. I'm so sorry. And you never did it again. It would have been a blip. You wouldn't even have brought it back up. Right? If you get up in the middle of the night and before you walk to the bathroom, you turn the light on and you see where the table with the chair is, you don't stub your toe. Right? So all I'm saying is we just have to remember the things that are important to us are like flowers that we have to prune, we have to feed, we have to water, because if we don't, what happens is, like I said, you forget they're there, you'll forget to water them, and the next thing you know, you can't save it. And I don't want that to happen to you. And I daggone sure don't want that to happen to me again. Like, I don't want to deal with that. That's why I try my best. Even with these podcasts, I do my best to try to make sure that I have good stories and stuff like that. I try to make sure that I do my best. I don't want to just throw some crap out there that I haven't worked on because you guys would stop listening. Yeah, we used to like him, but he sucks now. I don't want that crap. Right? So this is what I just want to say to you. This is the best way to describe it. Think about the things that are very important to you. It's your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your kids, your friends, your job, your health, whatever it is. Think of it as a fragile flower that you have to continuously water and prune and feed, because if you don't and you get into the habit of not, it is going to stop being what it needs to be. And I don't want that to happen to you. You dig? Of course you do. One more piece of information. This podcast has just ended. This is episode number 477. Much love to you, my friends. Remember, if you like this podcast, and I'm sure you do, do me a favor and tell a friend to tell a friend. If you love this podcast, and I'm sure you do, please make sure to subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. And remember, we are now on YouTube Music. Go looking for me. Just type in my name, S. Anthony Thomas, or Google my name, S. Anthony Thomas, because that's where I am on social media and all of that crap. It's my name. That's the best way to find me. And my best way to find you is here every week, because that's where I'm going to be. And I'm glad you're going to be here too. Much love to you, my friends. I'll talk to you next week. S. Anthony out.